Hour number two of the G.I. Jake Show starts now. Two of the G.I. Jake Show starts now. Jake Miller, Brett Hollander, Marcus Young, intern Jack. One more hour on this beautiful Thursday here in Knoxville, Tennessee. It is time for the Sit Rep presented by Inward Half Golf. Up first, NBA play-in games continued last night as the Bulls take down the Hawks, ending their season. The Bulls will now play the loser of game one from last night. 76ers take down the Miami Heat 105-104. The Heat will play the Bulls tomorrow. Winner advances to the NBA playoffs. The other goes to the house. Of course, Jimmy Butler taking an injury last night to his MCL, which will most likely put him out of playoff action. Not good for the Miami Heat. Up next, the NCAA has approved a new transfer rule allowing immediate eligibility. A new NCAA transfer rule will allow undergraduate athletes to transfer and play immediately if they meet specific academic requirements. As the Division I Council on Wednesday approved emergency legislation announced by the NCAA, the decision isn't final until the meetings end today, and the rule still needs to be formally approved by the NCAA's executive board on Monday. That is to be expected. You know, basically it's a formality at this point. The rule will provide immediate eligibility to any athletes who have transferred during the 2023-24 academic year, including the football players who entered the transfer portal Tuesday and during this window, as long as they're academically eligible and meeting progress towards degree requirements at their new school. We're going to talk about that a little bit more after the sit rep. The final thing on the sit rep is that girls flag football is now an official high school sport in the state of Tennessee. The TSSAA voted last Tuesday to make girls flag football an official high school sport in the state. The sport will become an officially sanctioned Tennessee high school varsity sport during the 2024-25 school year, making Tennessee the 10th state to do so. Girls flag football has been sanctioned as an emerging sport, meaning 15% of TSSAA members are either already engaging in the sport or committed to participation once sanctioned. Tennessee Titans plan to continue working with TSSAA to expand girls flag football across Tennessee, in addition to previously helping establish the state's first ever interscholastic girls flag football league in Williamson County Schools, which is 9 public schools, and then it expanded into Nashville Metro Schools. Also, the NFL flag will partner with the program to provide training and guidance for girls aspiring to join the new official sport. That is your sit rep presented by Inward Half Golf. Enjoy the walk in with Inward Half. Go to Inward Half .com and shop some of that fantastic golf gear that might look really good, really, really good for this Saturday. All right. So one of the things I want to touch on with you guys was the second thing I just mentioned, the NCAA and the new transfer rule allowing immediate eligibility. So everyone wants to bring up NIL, right? Mainly when we talk about players transferring, it's about NIL. Is NIL the problem, or is the transfer portal the problem? Because I feel pretty strongly about the fact that I'm really strong about this. It's the transfer portal. The fact that you can go and do as you please without any repercussions. Because back in the day, Brett, you'll remember this. You know, when I was growing up, by the time you you were in high school and whatnot, if you wanted to transfer, you had to sit out a year.
Yeah.
There were no exceptions. It's like, you want to transfer? Okay, well, guess what? You just didn't honor your commitment. Therefore, your punishment is you have to sit out for 365 calendar days.
Yeah, no. I mean, if that was still a rule, you would not see this many people in the portal.
No, I mean, you got over 1,000.
Unless you're a graduate transfer,
dude,
right?
There's over 1,000. Graduate transfers, yeah. I mean, Jeremiah Mazzoli found that loophole, and then everyone took advantage of it. And it's like, well, why can't we do this for everybody? Okay, well, let's do this for everybody. And now you got a problem.
Well, like, I think of a player specifically that just happened to was, I think, Caleb Love, who was at North Carolina, transferred to Michigan, and the same admissions rule didn't apply at Michigan as Arizona, so he would have, I think, had, possibly would have had to sit out at Michigan based on admission,
yeah,
college grades, things like that. But Arizona was different, so he was able to transfer there and play immediately. So it's just based on the school and their admission stuff, you know. And you know, I agree with you. The transfer thing has become an issue, and NIL is too. I mean, these guys are just waiting for the big paycheck, you know, and you know, and you know, without anything else, you know, prohibiting them from transferring, you know, they can go and please as they want, as many times as they want. You know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
No. And I want to ask y'all this. How many players do you think entered the transfer portal from last season that are looking to play at a new school this upcoming fall?
I think you told us that number. Wasn't it like 800 something in basketball?
That was for basketball.
Are you just talking about total in any sport?
No, just football.
Oh, football, there's no telling. Oh, yeah, gosh. I mean.
Anyone want to take a wild guess? Marcus, what do you think?
For football?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was close to 1,000.
Jack?
I'll go 2,000.
Yeah, I was going to say around 2,000 as well.
2,630.
Mm.
How many of those players do you think have committed to another school?
2,000.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Marcus,
10% of them.
You got to guess?
Probably half that.
Right at half, actually.
Wow.
1,353.
Well, it's weird. Like, why did they?
And only 106 have withdrawn.
And now they get the portal open again, like where guys are re-entering. You know, like Barron's going to be on, like, what, his fourth school in, like,
6 months?
In, like, 6 months.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, that's just stupid. That's stupid.
Yeah, there needs to be a rule, like, on that especially. Like, you can't just change schools four times in 6 months.
I mean, that's where the biggest problem is you've got that going on. And another thing, too, it's like, you guys remember, oh, God, what was that running back's name that we had?
Linjay.
Not Linjay. Well, Linjay was a problem in and of itself. He was here for all of, like, 48 hours.
Yeah.
And then transferred again.
We had a running back here, you're saying? Recently?
Yes.
I can't think of anybody off the
top of my head. It would have been Heupel's first year.
Running back.
Tyon Evans.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Where did he come from?
I don't know where he came from, but he ended up going to Louisville.
Right, I remember that, yeah.
Like, there was talk, like, his folks were trying to tell him, hey, you just need to declare for the NFL draft. And it's like, dude, you're getting, like, the worst advice possible right here. Like, that falls in that
category. Well, just to leave Tennessee.
No,
like, didn't they give him advice to leave Tennessee?
Yeah, but they wanted him to go to the NFL first.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
It's like, well, I mean, I can understand going to the pro, but keep changing colleges. Like, how do you ever graduate?
I don't know. Like, thing is, there's different graduation requirements for different schools. Now, if you transfer to
and
another
different credits at different schools, right?
Right. But, like, if you are at UT Knoxville, and then you want to transfer to, like, UT Martin or UT Chattanooga, take a step down, like, you would fall into
no
the university
problem, yeah,
system,
yeah,
and that would be fine. If you went to MTSU and you wanted to transfer to, like, ETSU or Memphis, you fall under the Board of Regents. Like, your degree requirements are going to be the same. But when you bounce from state to state to state, like, you're going to be in college if you want to finish for at least 5 years. At least. And that's a big problem. Let's get Philly in here. What do you say, Philly?
What's up, Jack?
Philly.
How y'all doing?
Pretty good.
That's interesting. You're talking about the transfer portal. They're going to do something about it, but I don't know what they can do.
Well, you opened up Pandora's box, Phil. I mean, you've heard the saying, it's hard to stop a train. Once the thing starts rolling, you're not going to be able to stop it.
No, and then you throw NIL on top of it, it just makes it even worse.
Yeah, you already had a train that was going 100 miles an hour. Now you got a train that's going 500 miles an hour, and nobody knows what to do, and there's really nothing you can do about it.
And what's bad is, now a lot of these schools, they're not going to recruit high schools as much as they do. They're just going to pluck people out of the portal.
I mean, especially schools like Ole Miss. Like Lane Kiffin, he's almost perfected the transfer portal. I mean, we saw that this past summer, or this past winter, excuse me. I mean, he's done a fantastic job of utilizing the portal. Be like, hey, listen, I know you're not having a lot of luck here, but if you want to come down here to Mississippi, if you want to come down to Oxford, we can make it happen.
But also,
for you.
He lost his best player. It's also taken away from him.
Yeah, the portal giveth and the portal taketh away.
Because he spent so much money, he didn't have enough to pay his best player. He's like, well, damn, I'm out of here.
It's like the government. It gives and it takes away.
Well, I'm sure Ohio State had enough money to give them plenty.
Yeah, I saw their number was like $34 million or something.
That's just
that they spent between like coaches and everything.
See, and that's
they
an
give
issue.
Offense and defense quarter $2 million plus.
Well, you're gonna have to start putting caps on NIL, like otherwise Ohio State and your big money schools are just gonna keep running everybody out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. I wonder how much Tennessee's NIL is if you count it.
Hmm.
Just guessing.
What'd you guys say, around $25 million?
Like for the football, or just for the all of NIL across all of it? Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, $25 million, $30 million probably.
Yeah.
They gotta have some money coming in. They're pretty good in all the sports.
Still with us, Phil? I think Marcus has got him back. Let's get him back in here, Marcus. You with us, Phil?
Got him back now.
All right.
What was the – I can't even remember my question now.
How much do you think Tennessee –
you asked how much you thought Tennessee was spending in NIL, and I think across the board probably anywhere from 25 to 30 million.
Wow. Is that just football, or is that including men's basketball too?
I think that's across the board with all sports.
When I saw where Alabama was paying $1 million, now it's up to $3 million in men's basketball.
Yeah, that's just – I'll be honest, Phil. I'm so sick of NIL. I am sick of the transfer portal. There needs to be limitations as to what you can do and what you can offer a player. Like, it's going to get to the point – I don't think anybody else has really said much about it. You're going to have to put a cap on this, and you're going to have to limit how much you can make as a freshman. If it were up to me, I wouldn't allow freshmen to make NIL. Now, once you're a sophomore, a junior, a senior, once you've actually played, once you play a game, yeah, you can get offers. And that would have avoided some of the situations that we had with the basketball team this past year. It would avoid a lot of these guys like Tyler Barron that are just taking money and running. Going to his.
Well, is he leaving because he's not getting enough?
Who knows, buddy? Who knows?
That's a headache,
at that
man.
Point. I'm so sick and tired of hearing his name.
Yeah.
Jack, add him to the list of ugly people.
Done.
Well, the dude's doing the same Tyler Bear's done.
He's on the list, too.
And I guess Awaka's. What's he waiting on? I mean, if Barnes, I'll tell Awaka, you got till Friday to decide you're coming back or not. If you're not, we're moving on.
You can't pay that a guy that averaged 5 points a game. He almost averaged more fouls a game than he did points. I mean, how much money is he really worth, like, to the team?
Well, at least a second team all conference. Even got is it's not even worth that.
And then you're paying, and then
he's wanting more, right?
And then somehow you're paying DeLeon, supposedly second most on the team, and he's playing a minute a game. What are you featuring about 10 games? I mean
that was just stupid.
I mean, what's going on with that?
Somebody made a really big mistake with that one.
Well, he was a high sought recruit. Sometimes it just don't work out. Seems like a lot of that's been going on over there lately on the basketball side.
It's been going on a lot, Phil. I mean, I'll call that like it is. It's been going on a lot.
I saw Adu's visiting Baylor this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to Baylor?
He's visiting them this weekend.
That'll help us with the guy that was on campus the last 2 days, because I know there's after him, too.
Milicic. Is that who you're talking about? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Baylor. And then Baylor's.
I do probably a good fit in Baylor's system, though. They don't use big men much. They just rebound and throw it back out and they shoot threes. That's what.
Yeah, Baylor has a top five class coming in, I think, too. So, I mean, there's not a whole lot of room. So, really, I think it's between us and Nebraska for Milicic, honestly. And
that sounds about right.
You know, I mean, surely he wouldn't go to Nebraska.
Yeah, especially if he's if his home base is in Charlotte. And
yeah.
It's a lot closer than going all the way to Nebraska. Plus, he's automatically, him and Estrella just share the five. I foresee that guy playing some four, though, if he can shoot threes.
Yeah, and being 6'10", yeah, for sure. I mean, you got to think he's similar to that Nelson guy Alabama had a little bit. You know, a little thicker maybe, but similar player.
Well, you talk about us losing players. Look at all Alabama's lost.
Mm.
Yeah, but they've already got like four or five guys coming in, I think. I saw Sears declared for the draft yesterday, but still the potential to return. So we'll see what he ends up doing. But, yeah, they've signed two of the top guys in the portal, I think, already. And they had the kid from Auburn visiting. Aiden Holloway is going down there to visit as well. Broome's coming back. You saw that, right, Phil? Did you see where Broome's coming back to Auburn next year?
God.
That'll be a step down from Sears. If he's the pop, of course, I don't know. They might rehab Holloway, though, just to shoot threes all the time.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a guard or any position for that matter, if you like shooting threes, that's the place to go. That's all he preaches over there.
And you come here, you can shoot threes, and then mysteriously you can't hit them no more.
Yeah, right.
Kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I mean, Connect's about the only one that's come in here and can shoot.
As I told the View yesterday, I was concerned about our running back situation. It looks to me like we're one injury away from a total disaster over there.
That's why I was disappointed that Martinez not coming in. We don't know the status of Seldon. I mean, it sounds like he's out till almost the beginning of the season. You just gonna run Samson out there and hope these other guys hit? I mean, you'd think he'd want to have another sure thing in this Martinez guy.
Well, I take Dylan Hayden. I don't understand. I mean,
he's rumored to Tech,
Samson's
Georgia Tech.
A good running back, but do you consider him an all-SEC running back?
Not right now, that's for sure.
Well, he's really not as good as Jalen Wright.
No, I mean, he was third. He was third string last year. You know, if it wasn't for Small getting hurt, you probably don't even see the field. He's probably not even here.
You don't.
I mean, now it's funny, though, that Hopple's recruiting, he hadn't recruited a better running back like Skolkin gave him, and he probably hasn't recruited an offensive lineman better than what Skolkin left him. You look at it.
Yeah, I mean, and there's talk that Heupel backed off this guy because he don't want to mess up the locker room or the running back room. I'm like, you know, at that point,
why do you even care?
Yeah, you just want to get your best team out there, and if this guy can help you win, get to the playoff, beat these top teams. I mean, Georgia and Alabama over the years have had 3-4 guys. You just move on to the next one, just like quarterback. If you have 3-4 quarterbacks, I mean, look at the quarterbacks Georgia lost over the years. You just get the best players on campus and let the best player play out in practice and see who wins. Let him go play. And this guy ran for 1,200 yards last year. Sign me up for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you recruit and you keep recruiting, and then you recruit over them. You want to win, don't you?
You're not a babysitter.
I mean,
we're
in this playoff. Yeah. I don't want to hear excuses now. We're in year four. And
yeah.
We'll just quit making excuses. We've already choked away that South Carolina game 2 years ago. We're not going to get many chances, so we got to take advantage of it when we can. We've got Nico. We've got to put some players around him to – go for this damn playoff.
Yeah, I'd be going after that 5-star corner that was at Colorado. He didn't play out well at Colorado.
Cormonty McClain.
Your weakness is corner. What? You've got this guy in the portal. Go pay him the money.
Well, and something
and bring
else
him
too,
in here at least on a visit.
He was one of the best defensive backs in the country coming out of high school.
Yes.
Like, you have to at least take out a
Colorado's
flyer on
a
him.
Mess. I mean, this guy can probably play. We just don't know it because he's out there, you know, catering to his son and Travis Hunter and all these other players he's got out there, and it didn't pay off for him. And, I mean, your weakness is corner. Go get the best corner in the market, you know? Like, go see what you can do with him.
Boy, our weakness is secondary, and you see that Saturday. I mean,
this guy's
Lord,
from, I think this guy's from Florida. I mean, it's not like it's far away.
I can't believe Martinez is still over there. You know who Martinez looks like?
Who's that?
Bjerm, right?
Oh, my God, he does. Jack Willie Martinez, add him to the list of ugly people. Stay with us. When we return, West Coast Rusty will be making his weekly appearance here on the G.I. Jake Show. Stay with us. More Fan Run Radio on the way.
Mile away. Bean just had to take her phone, and I just took her smile away. She said, I'm too drunk and crazy. She don't like the way I dance. I said, you don't have to join. Then she said, she'd take a chance. I've been kind of crazy ever since they went down. If I smarter, I'd
on the G.I. Jake Show. Pleased to be joined by my good friend, West Coast Rusty of Big Orange Banner. Rusty, what's up, man?
I'm moving slow this morning, Jake. I'm sorry, brother. It was a late night. I was down in Koreatown at a rooftop bar and having cocktails till the wee hours. Last thing I remember is throwing a chair off a roof.
Hey,
here we are.
Hey, sometimes we all have to channel our inner Morgan Wallen, which I'll probably do with a golf club during the Fan Run Charity Open this weekend. Rusty, the baseball team, keep on rolling. Just keep on rolling through SEC play as you sweep LSU. And now, looking ahead to this weekend.
Like Fred Durst said.
Yes, absolutely. I think I called it last week as well on Friday. I said we were going to get the sweep, and we got it done. And then you fast forward to this week. You got Kentucky, a top five matchup, in which is not on TV. And I'll be quite honest with you, man, I'm kind of peeved by it.
Yeah, this baseball thing where every broadcasted ball game has been decided before the season starts is kind of done by ESPN. I'm not sure why. I don't know if it's a logistical thing with who there's where the travel plans are going for the people that call the games. Like, cause, you know, Berkey and Neil are always going to be on TV, and then there's a bunch of lesser known broadcasters that get the other games that end up on SEC Network Plus or ESPN Plus stuff. And I don't know why you have to. I mean, we knew exactly what games Tennessee would be on, late January. Mm-hmm. We knew what games would be on regular television and what games would be streaming back then. They released the whole schedule thing, but why not have the option to broadcast whatever you want to, especially when you get late in the season and teams are better or worse than you thought, and you don't want to be, maybe you don't want to be at LSU Florida if they're playing, like, you know, week 9 of the SEC season, because they both are trash right now.
Agreed.
But the, you know, somebody's not, you know, planning very well over there. It's like me when I'm about to go on a trip.
I mean, that just I would go ahead and say that is par for the course with ESPN. That is par for the course with everything under that umbrella.
We shouldn't be shocked by it.
No, we should not. But looking at what happened last week, you know, of course, LSU, they still have Tommy Tanks. Well, he comes in. He has an okay weekend.
Handsome devil, by the way. He's a handsome devil, isn't he?
Nowhere near as handsome as I am. But
that's true.
At the same time, appreciate that. But at the same time, you know, it just seemed like everything was going right for Tennessee. You had Billy Amick, who had been out for a few weeks with his injury. First at bat, first pitch, absolutely drills one to put the Vols up in that one. What was your expectation for him going into the weekend? And were you surprised at all to see that come out of him?
I tell you what, when the starting lineup came out Friday night, I was surprised he was in it. I assume we might see him get a few pinch hits over the weekend, the way Tony had talked all week. Mm-hmm. And hats off to Tony for, you know, playing possum. He clearly knew that Amick was probably going to start, and he made it sound like he didn't think he was going to be able to go much more than, you know, just some late minutes or maybe a pinch hit situation. So kudos to him on that. So my expectations were just seeing him in the lineup, I was blown away. But once I saw him was in the lineup, I was like, oh, well, he's, I would assume he's 100%, because I don't think they were going to play him unless he was, and clearly he was just fine. The first five batters in this batting order, it's stupid. It very well may be. I could go back and look at college baseball for a long time, but I don't know you would find a better 1-5 in a lineup in, like, the history of college baseball.
It's an interesting take. I like that. I really like that.
It's scary. It's. I don't know where you go for an out in that top five and feel like, oh, good, I can avoid this guy. I mean, Burt clearly has matured. He's clearly spitting on pitches, and he's going the other way a ton. But he's also, you can't throw him as much sliders in the dirt as you could last year. It's a totally different animal. And even the bottom of the lineup struggled this past weekend really bad, but we still found ways to win, got a timely hit or two from that bottom of the lineup. I believe it was Stark that got the bloop that scored a couple runs where their center fielder broke back first.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This lineup right now, I mean, Villanueva's not getting to play every day. He's a guy that's clearly got a ton of pop. It's really, really scary offensive baseball team. Better offensively than the 22 team.
Wow. Better than the 22 team.
Very nice.
And of course,
offensively.
Yes.
Better team, they're not. They're not a better team because that team was stacked. Pitching was probably as good as anybody, or was better than anybody in the country, and their lineup was too. This team's got the best offense in the country. It's just not got the same pitching staff.
I like it. I really like it. Brett, what you got?
Yeah, the big story for me, more so than anything, was the pitching we got this weekend. I know LSU's down offensively a little bit this season, but you know, especially I was surprised that to see. I never heard the name Stamos come out and start Friday in a big series. Obviously, every series is huge. It doesn't matter who you're playing, but this one especially, since it was the one you kind of probably circled. But for me, it was the pitching. For 3 days, your pitching was solid, and that was the big takeaway for me. Yeah, you get your timely hitting. That's always been there this season. Just your overall thoughts on the pitching and what we saw from them this past weekend.
It was a really impressive weekend of guys stepping up when they needed to. I kind of love the idea that we're using openers. Maybe that's a trend baseball's headed in. I don't know. But a Friday night opener that just gives you a couple and then lets a different guy come in that's going to go longer than the opener. Mm-hmm. That kind of screws with the other team's lineup. Stamos is out there, and as the opposing coach, you're setting up your batting order because he's a lefty, you're setting up your batting order to face a lefty. And then in the third inning, there's a righty coming in who's going to throw the line share, so he's not going to see nearly as many left-handed bats if he was the starting pitcher, unless the other manager burns some players and goes to his bench and takes guys out and changes up his lineup that early, which no coach wants to do.
Right.
You don't want to take away your best pinch hitters that early. And then it's kind of the same thing on Sunday. Xander's battling his rear end off mm-hmm. the last couple of weeks. Not elite stuff, but showing a ton of maturity and learning how to get guys out. And sometimes that's more important than your stuff, is knowing how to attack and knowing how to approach and get guys out. Beam didn't have elite stuff on Saturday by any means either, but he scattered hits. I think he gave up 8 hits in 7 innings, but if you give up singles mostly and you don't let them stack on top of each other, you can still win baseball games doing that too. The pitch that was super impressive. And guys finally are starting to get more work that we haven't seen. If A.J. Russell comes back to this staff, which I think we're going to see him give it a go in a couple weeks, the time away that he's had has been beneficial for some other guys, and it could be huge in the postseason if you have him back with right. some of these other guys that are getting as much work as they are.
Yeah, and just moving to Kentucky, I'm just kind of looking at some of their numbers. Offensively, they don't look like they have a lot of pop. Looks like they play a lot of small ball. They got almost 80 steals on the season. I haven't watched them, I'll be honest. But just looking to see where they rank in the SEC, I mean, they're kind of middle to upper of the pack. I mean, not much better than what we saw from LSU, to be honest. Obviously, this is probably the biggest series they might have had it as a program. I can't think of a bigger one. They're, so I think they're treating it that well, that way. And obviously we have some payback from a couple years ago when we went up there and kind of struggled. So what are you expecting this weekend?
They're gonna try to grind you the way they play offense. They do all the little things, but you're right. They don't have a lot of pop. They don't crush the baseball,
right.
But they run like crazy on the bases. They're going to put pressure if they get on base. So you got to keep guys off as much as possible. And they got three really solid pitchers. I'm anxious to see what the environment looks like tomorrow. If they're taking it serious up there and they're really fired up, which I'm guessing they are. I believe that a couple of years ago they were ranked. It might be 10 years ago, but I know they played a series at some point. But I think they were on the road where they were number two in the country and somebody was number one. I think it was them two at number one LSU, mm-hmm. and time gets away from them. But they had a good, really good baseball team, and however long ago that was, where they had a series. But I think you're right. This is the biggest series that they've probably ever hosted for a regular season ball game up in Lexington. Should be a fun one. Two very, very contrasting styles.
Absolutely. Rusty, we appreciate you coming on today, man. Tell us where to find you on Twitter.
Hey, at West Coast Rusty and at Big Orange Banner. Jake, do you have 2 seconds? I just wanted to throw out one thing.
Go ahead.
Totally agree with you. NIL's not the problem. The portal's the problem. We got to get the only way to get some guardrails up for the portal is to make the universities and the NCAA is going to have to make employees out of athletes. They're going to have to like start paying them some kind of salary through the university, and they're still allowed to make their NIL, and they're going to have to sign them to contracts, and it's going to have to be collectively bargained to where these kids are committing to a school for 2 or 3 years, and school's committing to the kids for 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. and that you're on our payroll for X amount of time, and that's the only way the situation is going to change, or we're going to have to embrace what we got, which is total chaos all the time, which maybe that's okay too, I don't know, but to fix this portal thing, that's where we're having to head, and players making money's fine. I don't care if freshmen make money too, that's fine too. It's players being able to jump ship every year, which I'm for them having freedom of movement in certain situations, but if the school wants to give you a commitment of 3 years and guarantee you X amount of dollars, or the collective wants to give you that, you should have to honor it, et cetera. That's my take on that.
I love that take. Rusty, thank you so much. We'll talk soon, my friend.
Take you the best. Brett, Marcus, thank you, boys.
Thank you. That is our friend West Coast Rusty from Big Orange Banner making his weekly appearance here on the G.I. Jake Show. Stay with us. An exciting final segment of the program coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.
G.I. Jake Show Betting Tracker, presented by SM Athletics.
Final segment of the program. It's time for the G.I. Jake Show Betting Tracker, presented by SM Athletics. Brett, what you got for me?
I'm just going to go all baseball. There's not much to choose from. It's either that or NHL.
Got some golf too, man.
Oh, yeah. I forgot the golf was even on. Scheffler to win the tournament.
That's a good pick.
Yeah. I can't believe he's playing, to be honest. But
I didn't think he would.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to take the Angels tonight. I'm going to take the Rangers, who actually are starting. Remember Leiter, played for Vandy?
Yes, Jack
Leiter.
He's
actually making his debut, I believe, for the Rangers tonight. I'll take the Indians, the Cubs, and we'll go with the Giants. And those are my five.
I like it. I like it a lot. Jack.
I got five dudes to hit a home run today.
Whoa.
Attaboy.
It's rough. There's no basketball, no football. I'm choosing between baseball and hockey. All right, we got Mike Trout hitting a home run. We got Corey Seager hitting a home run. Carson Kelly, Jose Ramirez, and Dansby Swanson. All
nice.
Five hitting home runs.
What would that pay out?
If I put in 20, I'd get $596.
How about that?
Wow.
Marcus.
Hello.
Hi.
So we got a few hockey games going on tonight. I'm going all games. I think it's more than five.
Yeah, it is.
So I've got Minnesota Wild winning by a goal and a half, covering that spread. That is going to be a fun game to watch, even though none of them have anything worthwhile going for.
Nope.
Vancouver Canucks, weirdly, are the underdog against the Jets. I like the Canucks in this game on Moneyline, plus 108. Sharks and Flames, I don't know why. Got a weird feeling it's going to go over the total, so I'm going over 6.5 goals. Edmonton Oilers versus the Colorado Avalanche. I like Edmonton in this one, too. Edmonton being a underdog in this. I like it. Vegas Golden Knights and the Anaheim Ducks. Ducks are terrible. Vegas wants to win this game decisively, prove that they should get that third spot. I think it's going to go over 6.5 in that game, too. And finally, the LA Kings and the Chicago Blackhawks. Kings are trying to get that spot as well. I think that they're going to win their game by the covering the spread at 1.5.
All right. I'm going to take my Chicago Cubs at -1.5 against the Miami Marlins. I'm also going to take Nico Horner to record a hit in that one. We're going to take Ketel Marte to have two total bases or more. We're going to take the Tampa Bay Rays at -1.5 over the Los Angeles Angels, and Scotty Scheffler to lead round one today. That is the G.I. Jake Show Betting Tracker, presented by SM Athletics, where you can get any custom apparel done for your team, for your business. Do not wait to get your football uniforms for the fall. Do not wait to get all-star jerseys, that's a mouthful, for your baseball team coming up here in just a few weeks. We can make it happen here at SM Athletics. Give us a call, 865-966-3434. Visit us online at smathletics.com. All right, guys. This is the part of the show where we try to, you know, end the show on a lighter note, you know, not be as serious, right? And normally I have my website that I go to in order to find those funny stories, find those lighthearted stories, make everybody's day better. Right?
Yeah. Uh-huh,
I would say so. Well, we now go to Facebook.
I'm so sorry.
What happened on Facebook?
You never know what you're going to find on Facebook.
Yeah.
We go just up north, I-75, to Powell.
Wow.
Oh, it's a local story. That's not good news.
Random person posts to the group, says, if anyone sees a pair of black booty shorts somewhere on Emory Road that says Las Vegas on them, please message me or comment on this post. They belong to my mom's very best friend who passed away, and she accidentally left them on the top of her van.
What?
The look on Marcus's face, right?
Sorry, we're going to have to back up for a second.
What in the world kind of story?
For a moment, I was going to say, oh, maybe, you know, there is a gentleman's club within that area. Maybe
it's not on Emory.
Well, it's within that. There is one nearby, not on Emory, but there's not that I know of it. But
oh, obviously, you know of it. You're mentioning it.
I thought maybe a lady that worked there,
buddy,
maybe
are you
just
embarrassed?
Lost some clothes.
Your face is redder than ever right now.
I can't believe somebody posted
that. I'm under
that.
A light. What do you mean? I'm under a light. I'm literally getting a suntan over here. And so I just thought maybe she just lost some work clothes. But then you said the one line that really bothered me.
What's that?
Which was that they belong to my mom's very best friend. Which
who died,
means,
right? Is that what he said to
yes,
you?
Which means that this person could be in their 20s or 30s, which means the mother is in her 50s or older, which then means her friend is also that age. No one in that age should be wearing shorts like that. No offense.
No.
Like, I appreciate anyone wanting to, you know, no body shame, you know, be you, be happy with yourself, but also certain clothes. I wouldn't be wearing booty shorts, even at this age, and I'm in my physical peak. my physical peak. I can't even say it properly. So, is there an update? Were there any comments that could help figure out where they went?
You're the investigator. Why don't you jump on it, Marcus? Do you have time on your schedule with this chair?
Facebook. I stay off of Facebook.
A really good friend of the show that we all know on Twitter for his outlandish takes sometimes, but they're hilarious, has commented on it, and I cannot repeat his comment on air.
Okay. Does that person know where it is? Is that why you care?
Yeah, do they currently have them?
I doubt this person's out there searching for it.
They said they left them on the top of the van?
Yes, and drove off.
Sometimes that happens, though. Once I left my phone on top of a friend's car, and they drove to a gas station with my phone on top of it.
And it stayed on?
Surprisingly, it did.
Whoa. Wow.
I would imagine those things are still on the road somewhere.
They've been picked up by somebody and thrown in the trash.
No, I don't think so. Listen, man, I did a field trip when I was in like elementary school in Montana where we had to clean up trash along the side of the road. You find some things on the side of the road, like the highway, people don't really clean that up that often. I also found clothing for a woman on the side of that highway.
Did you guys hear the story the drive was talking about yesterday? I think it was towards the end of their show about the woman that wheeled the dead person, her uncle, into the bank.
Dude, I saw the video.
Yes.
She's like grabbing his hand, like trying to make a dead body to sign a loan document.
And there's video of it. He's like,
oh my God.
She was like holding his hand.
She weakened it, Bernie did?
Basically. Yeah.
I mean, the dude, his eyes were open. He's obviously dead. He looks yellow and green.
They say he died like on the way there to the bank, is what she claimed.
No, she wheeled him straight out of the hospital. She needed money. Here you go.
Put some sunglasses on. Why?
It was in Brazil that this happened. According to police, she was attempting to take out a loan equivalent to $3,000, which had already been approved by the bank, but still needed the elderly man's sign off. And so she's like grabbing his hand, trying to get him to grab this pen. Meanwhile, his head's like just flopping around. She's like picking it up. It's a pretty disturbing video to watch.
Why wouldn't she just put sunglasses on? If it's like, why on earth would you not cover up his eyes that clearly are lifeless? People are weird.
I'm going to go to my bookmarks. I'm going to send it to you guys. I want you all to watch it really quick.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you bookmarked this?
Absolutely.
I mean, all they have to do is go on like Twitter. It's on there or whatever. It was one of the craziest videos I've ever seen.
It was one of the most disturbing ones I've ever seen. That was pretty rough.
She had his license and everything right there, and like the thing, I just don't even know.
The thing people will do for money.
Gosh. Oh my God. Oh, his head's just bobbing. She has no remorse for this whatsoever.
She's serious, man. She was serious.
Go watch the video, both of you, now.
While they're doing that, I just bit of UT news. Dubar is officially signed on
Perfect.
To play basketball for the University
Great.
Of Tennessee.
Love that. Yes. She got arrested for this, by the way.
I would imagine so. Do you think...
Is there any sign of life in that man? The only time his eyes are opening is when his head tilts back all the way because he obviously dead. He can't hold his own head up.
Well, so she's clearly trying to steal some money, right?
She slapped him in the nose!
It's her uncle.
Right.
Why are you slapping a dead man's nose?
Clearly he was dead.
Why are you up?
She's trying to take money from him.
Yes.
That she wouldn't get access to without him being alive or whatever.
Well, the bank approved it.
Yeah.
But here's the question, though.
He probably did it before he died.
No, she probably did it while he was dead and then just wheeled his dead body down there.
That's what I'm leaning towards.
Well, because they're probably like, you need to bring him in to sign off on this.
Okay. What if she dug him up?
I don't think so.
Let's not make it worse than it is.
Basketball Brad chimes in. He says, thank goodness Marcus is not wearing those, quote, shorts.
All right, I guess I know what I'm wearing Saturday. Got to prove a point now. Let me go to Powell and find him real quick, and I'll head over to the golf course right after. I was going to, quickly ask, because clearly she's trying to pull off a heist.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the four of us could pull off a heist if we wanted to?
Oh, Lord, no.
Now, I know, doing a heist.
I did watch The Town last night, though. I love that movie.
So you feel confident.
Yeah, I do. I feel good now.
Whenever you see those movies, you start to feel like, hey, I could do this.
What's each person's job? Like, we need, a guy in the chair, like, someone to do the acrobatics.
Who's the wheel man? Who can drive the fastest?
Well, you also need, an IT person, too, right? To, like,
Yeah.
He works a computer every day here. He's our IT guy.
I'm the man in the chair.
He's the man in the chair.
So what am I doing?
I think you're like the guy that you send in there to lie like straight to the person's face because you got that confidence that you can like, you know.
Are we just trying to do an armored truck though?
Like, you can tell when I'm lying, Marcus.
Well, I'm thinking like an Ocean's 11. Like you're
a casino?
Yeah, like you're like Brad Pitt in this situation, his character.
Well, the bad thing is, Marcus, you can tell when I'm lying.
Oh, so you, all right, fine. I'll be Danny Ocean. You can be, can't remember the other characters. You could be the old guy that pretends to leave the jewels in the safe so it's really a bomb.
So Marcus? You can't say. The FBI just entered the chat, buddy.
I said Balm, B-A-L-M. Goodness, what are you guys talking about?
Elijah Herring to visit Colorado tomorrow.
Good for him.
Is his brother still committed to us?
I cannot believe you just said that.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, Caleb.
What?
Caleb Herring, yeah.
I can't believe you just said that, Marcus.
Balm?
Marcus.
We can go back and listen to it.
You see that button for mic one?
B-A-L-M. B-A-L-M. That's what I said. I don't know what he wants from me. Yeah, I see a button there.
You know what? Go ahead and hit the outro. I'm not getting arrested today.
I said balm. It's today. Good for your lips.
He said today.
That's fun. Brett's over here scared.
He's prepared for tomorrow, though.
Yeah, I just can't get over this Brazilian woman. Why would she do this?
I can't get over the booty shorts and pal off Emory Road.
God, I was trying to move on from that. That's why I was watching this dead person.
Imagine just eating an ice cream, and then you look, hey, mommy, look at that.
Or just those booty shorts just flying off the car if you're behind it driving?
No, just lands on the windshield.
Could be
all
like
it
this
says
big.
Is.
Yeah, my lips are getting real dry, Jack.
It's like one of those things you put up to keep your car cool, you know, like the sun. It just says Las Vegas. I can't believe it. Sin City, baby.
Oh, my God. The Herd with Colin Cowherd coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.